Now, as well as HIV, there's been numerous infections that have plagued us, a human population, in the past. And they've often come about quite suddenly, and they usually come from other animal species. For example, diseases such as SARS, or bird flu as we know it, is a good example of these kind of emerging infectious diseases, as they're known. But what does cause an infection to jump the species barrier in this way? We sent Meera Senthilingam along to meet Kate Jones from the Zoological Society in London, where she's been working on an emerging disease map to try and pinpoint where the next pandemic might pop up.
Emerging infectious diseases are diseases that have basically increased in incidence, impact or range, or they've newly evolved, like multi-drug resistant TB or malaria, or entered the human population for the first time, like SARS or Ebola or HIV/AIDS.
And what exactly are the factors that cause these diseases to emerge in the first place?
Well, it's usually because there's a change in the transmission dynamics between and within host populations. So you have populations of humans, wildlife and domestic animals all interacting, and changes which change those dynamics between these populations and within host populations cause these diseases to enter the human population for the first time.
What are the actual changes that happen?
So it could be increased intensification of agriculture so that you get more contact between domestic animals and humans. It could be going into a ranges of wild animals that people didn't do before because of bushmeat hunting, and so that you're exposed to different diseases. So diseases and pathogens don't want to kill their host because they're evolving with them. But it's when you get a change in this transmission dynamics and it's suddenly new for the pathogen, that's where it causes the problem, because pathogens don't actually want you to die because they're living in you.
Now, when it comes to emerging infectious diseases, there are obviously lots of different types. So what are the factors that influence these different types?
We thought originally about emerging infectious diseases all as a one thing, and then it became obvious to us that there were different drivers for the different things. So we cut it up into broadly different types. So drug-resistant emerging infectious diseases, like drug-resistant TB, vector-borne diseases such as malaria, and then we thought about zoonotic. This is a disease from wildlife that entered the human population, such as Ebola, AIDS or SARS. Those are the broad categories that we use.
So what were the different drivers for the different diseases playing more crucial roles in them?
A human population density is absolutely critical for predicting the probability of an emerging infectious disease happening, because you've got more people, more chance of infection. But for drug-resistant ones, human growth is actually more important. So the rate of population growth is more important. Or, for example, zoonotic pathogens, we were finding that, okay, human population density is actually really important. But the other driver that was equally as important was the distribution of possible hosts. And in this case, we used wildlife biodiversity.
So earlier this year, you managed to create this map that basically showed hotspots on a global scale of where these diseases are occurring more often.
We took a really innovative multidisciplinary approach. So I study broad-scale biodiversity patterns, so I'm not an epidemiologist at all. But I was working with people who were. But the problem with the field as it stood before we tried to do this was that people were looking at single diseases and not taking a really broad-scale approach to think about, well, what are the processes behind those patterns? So what we did was we tried to think about an emerging infectious disease, and not just the disease, but the event. So the first time in space and time that that pathogen entered the human population. So we tried to model that event because we wanted to work out, well, what were the factors that were affecting that event happening? So maybe we could predict and maybe prevent it in the future.
And are there particular examples of diseases that you managed to think about the factors for then?
Yeah, so we tried to do this in a general approach, but a few examples would be, say, Nipah Hendra virus in Malaysia. This is a zoonotic, this is a disease from wildlife. So what happened was there was an intensification of pig farming in the region. And so people put pigs in natural forest for the first time. And there's an interaction between the bats and the pigs in the forest. And so the pigs were eating fruit that the bats had eaten. Bats have Nipah Hendra virus naturally and they cope with it in their populations. Pigs, however, have never been exposed to that. And the humans which were handling the pigs had never been exposed either. And so you had an emerging infectious disease event of this really nasty disease.
So is it safe to say that the fact that we're moving closer and closer to animals is causing a big change in the emergence of these diseases?
That's a really good question, and that's what we were trying to try and answer. Our first result coming out of this huge database, was that the incidence of emerging infectious diseases actually increased over time. What we then did was plot it spatially. So normally, in my biodiversity studies, you find a lot more biodiversity, a lot more things in the tropics. Now, with emerging infectious disease events, the opposite is true. You get more in the north and more in the south and fewer in the tropics. So we were thinking that possibly that shows you that biology is important, but there are other socioeconomic factors involved which we needed to model. Quite frighteningly, the hotspots of diseases since 1940 have been in the really big capital cities of the world, so London, New York, and Tokyo. So maybe one possible explanation is that you put more money into antibiotics and you're getting a lot more emergence of these diseases which are drug resistant. The other really interesting factor was that if you look at the zoonotic pathogens, they're affected by human population density, but also the density of other wildlife in the region, which makes perfect sense, really. So it's not just that you've got high population densities of humans or wildlife, it's the interaction of those two things. In a way, it gives added value to preserving wild areas, to keeping them wild, because we're preventing horrible emerging infectious diseases coming and entering the human populations.
So basically, it all comes down to a rising and more mobile human population, bringing us and animal groups closer together. Not too close, I hope. And this leads to infections jumping across the species barrier. And that was Kate Jones from the Zoological Society in London, talking to Meera Senthilingam.
Lifting the lab coat on the world's best science. The Naked Scientists.